Hi guys, and welcome back to my podcast. So today, I honestly don't even remember what my intro is, or if I even had an intro, but it's like 12 o'clock here in London. So I wanted to basically talk about, like, I really wanted to come back on my podcast and do my episode on something that I am both passionate about, that is real, that is most beneficial to anybody and everybody who's listening, and rather than, I don't know what else I could possibly be doing on a podcast, but yeah. So I wanted it to be something that was really true to myself. So here goes. So recently, not recently, I am right now in going into my third year of university. So that's my last year. And I am both excited, scared, worried, stressed. Well, I should say was for some of these things, like stressed and worried and scared. But right now I'm just, so those were the emotions I had in the beginning, like when I found out I passed my second year. And then I was like, okay, so what am I going to do next? Like, what's my next step? So, because I have to prepare right now for anything I want to do the following year. Because the way with graduate opportunities, it works, like, especially in my field, you have to apply a year in advance. So if you wanted to go into a job with career progression in your field, or if you wanted to apply for your postgraduate, which is like your master's, you have to really know what you want to do now, because applications close in like 2 months after university starts, and university starts in 3 weeks. And I know, like, I'm going to be having so much to do with uni and with working and part-time and having my own goals, like my health and fitness. I know, like, I should really get ahead of things instead of expecting them to fall on me last minute, or to deal with them last minute, because that's what stresses me out and throws me off into a spiral. So I said I have to be more mature and be more mindful of what I'm doing every day, like now going forward from now, which means I have to plan ahead, do things ahead, so I don't get stressed and spiral out of control. Because I realized I don't deal with stress very well, but that's another topic for another day. So what had happened was I was very stressed out about what my next step is and what it is that I would like to do with my life going forward. Do I want to work? Do I want to take a year out and just think? Do I want to go back into education and pursue my postgraduate? Honestly, when I first received the news that I had passed my second year and I'm going through my third year, the minute I got my notification, well, not the minute, but one of the biggest feelings I had was, oh, I can't wait to be done with, like, my undergrad, so I can never go back into education. But then the truth is, like, is that really what you want? Because the next thought I have then is, how am I going to get a job? How am I going to pursue a postgraduate? How am I going to progress? Because I don't want to be, I don't want to settle on or not achieve the best that I can achieve. That's most, like, what I'm most capable of. I don't want to sell myself short. So, but then again, I'm also somebody who gets ahead of herself and overthinks, or I'm somebody who's very, like, an overachiever, and I like to do everything. I never want to not take part in something or rob myself of an opportunity or anything like that. So I have to keep, like, so yeah. So I was saying to myself, like, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? And thinking about that constantly, I was spiraling out of control with my eating. I was getting constant headaches. My stomach was constantly knots, worried. My prayers have been, like, I was not consistent. I was not consistent in, like, my practicing my religion, you know, and it's because I, one minute I'm hopeful, one minute I'm not. So with the way my, the wind blows, my religion blows as well, you know, like not my religion, but my practicing blows as well. So if that makes any sense. So I was just going with the wind constantly, and that's not good, you know. God loves those who do things consistently, even if they're small acts of worship or kindness or whatever, you know. He likes, God likes consistency. And, you know, I wasn't able to do that because I was not, I was thinking too much, you know. I was overthinking things, which is another thing I'm terrible at doing. I overthink a lot, and which causes me to stress and spiral out of control and lose opportunities because I am stressed and in my own feelings, and they're never like positive feelings, they're always negative. Clearly this is why I raised them. So I know a lot of people that might be out in the world in my predicament, being somebody who's like in 27, you know, in the third year of university. A lot of people have finished this when they were much younger, and so they have time to, I know I'm saying like they have time, like as if I don't have time either, but I don't want to spend too much time messing around anymore because I feel more and more mature than most students. So I have to know what I'm doing, you know, going forward. Sorry, I'm just trying to get comfortable for this chat. What is that? Oh, it's my plug. Yeah, so I said to myself, you know, it's just, I was going through a lot. That's why I was like not able to post something for so long, because I honestly didn't have the stomach for it, and I didn't have the mindset for it, and I didn't even know what I was going to say anyway. So what I did was I guess, like, you know, God could see that I was really trying, like Allah could see I was really trying, and I was trying to stay consistent. And I saw, sorry, first I saw this post somebody had posted, and it said, God sees that you're trying, and he understands, and he, something like he appreciates, or he understands, or something like that. God, or God can see you trying, and he knows you're doing your best. Yeah, that's what it was. It said, God knows you, can see you trying, and he knows you're doing your best. And honestly, that meant so much to me, because I always feel like I'm letting Allah down by not praying consistently, by not dressing the way I should, like more modestly, by not, and not to say I'm running around here with lingerie on in the streets of, you know, London or anywhere in the world really, but I could do better, you know. And nothing, not that there's anything wrong with anybody who wants to go out with lingerie, that's their business, you know, but it's not for me. And I'm on this path where it's not even that I'm on the path, it's just this conscience in me. It's in my conscience, like constantly, like, are you displeasing Allah? Are you displeasing your Lord? And I always feel like, because I have this fear of displeasing my Lord, I feel like there's always consequences to my actions, and the actions I create sometimes, I don't even know what I'm saying, honestly. I don't even know if I'm speaking correctly, but I'm just going to say what I'm saying, and hopefully you understand what I'm saying. So, like, when I do something, I always think, like, oh, if something goes wrong, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's because you did that. And then, you know, you got punished for it. At least you're getting punished in this world and not in the hereafter, you know, because Lord knows I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to get punished in my grave. It's a deep topic, guys. Sorry, I go deep. But if you don't mind it, thank you. Keep listening. If you do, I'm sorry. Find another podcast and come back another time. Maybe I have something that's more entertaining for you. But anyway, so I was like, you know what, I don't want to do anything hasty. I don't want to do anything that will displease my Lord, like in making my decision. So one of the things I really wanted to do was move out of my house and pursue a career, get a career job, and move out of my house. And I know my mom wouldn't like me to do that, but it's something I wanted to do for myself. It's something I said I would do for myself. Sorry, that was just a pop-up. So then I was thinking, What if you do that and then you displease your Lord because your mom's not happy with it? And then I was like, but then I'm unhappy. If I don't do that, then I'm unhappy. Then I started seeing people like Adeola Patron on YouTube and what's her name? Annie Drea on YouTube, and they moved out into their own places now, and they have these beautiful homes and they live in the city, city life, and they live in apartments. And I was like, oh wow, that's what I want to do. Like, that is what I wanted to do anyway, and I want to do it. Like, I can't believe I'm like so close to it now because of graduation. I'll be able to get a job and earn enough, you know, to live in the city instead of living at home with my mom. And I'll get to live alone. And let's be honest with each other, I'm not going to be able to live in the city, like afford it, but I'm sure I'll find something, you know what I mean? And then but then in my conscience was constantly telling me, like, but is that because your mom doesn't want it for you? What if your actions will cause you to experience some trials in this world that you don't need to go through, but you're doing it for a minute's pleasure, you know, a moment's pleasure? And then that happened. So then I was like, okay. But I was conflicted because why do I have to constantly be doing things that please somebody else and not me? Like, what about me? When do I get to be pleased? So then I was just talking to my mom, and in the conversation she was saying to me, like, I was talking about like what I'm going to do like this year, like academically, my choices for I'm going to execute this year. And she was advising me on it, and she said to me, you know, you should pray Salat Istikhara and ask Allah for guidance. And I said to her, no, I won't pray Istikhara, I'll pray Tahajjud. So Istikhara is a prayer to ask Allah, God, for guidance. And you can pray that prayer any time of the day. Okay. And then there's the Tahajjud prayer in Islam, which is you pray it's like the middle of the night. I'm not explaining it well. Don't take my words as explanations for it, but this is what we do, what I do. You pray in the middle of the night, just before the morning prayer, between the morning prayer and the night prayer, and you have to sleep to wake up. You have to sleep and wake up and then pray, but you can't pray when you haven't slept in the night. So I don't know. So you have to wake from your slumber and you have to pray and ask Allah to help you or guidance. And that prayer, the Tahajjud prayer, is like shooting up into an arrow into the heavens. And it's the type of arrow. It's like the type of when you make supplications or du'as or prayers, we call them du'as. They're like supplications, which is prayers. It goes up to the heavens. And it's a direct arrow to the heavens. And Allah, whatever you ask for in that prayer is always either granted to you or given something or withheld from you for a while until it's the right time for you, or you're given something better in return. But you're never rejected. That prayer is never rejected. It's never something that you pray for and then God doesn't give it to you. Instead, that prayer is so like is so strong and so heavy, it helps you so much, like, you know. So I said, you know what, I'm just going to pray that instead of the one where I can pray any time of the day and ask Allah. And, you know, not to say that, by the way, Allah won't grant me what I want at this prayer, the day prayer. It's just that the night prayer is very, very, very important. Like, it's very something, like, that's very important if you want something or want guidance or anything, you know. And I don't know, if you're a Muslim, you know the difference, but if you're not, I'm sorry, I'm really trying to explain it. I don't want to spend too much time explaining it. I hope you got it. Otherwise, you can just Google it. So then I said to my mom, you know, I'm going to miss that prayer, the day prayer. I'm instead going to focus on the night prayer because when I've asked Allah for when I've prayed recently, Istikhara, and I was so confused as to what the decision was, I still didn't know. And then I said to her, instead, I will pray the night prayer, and then I will leave everything to God. And I will leave everything to God, and then He will guide me and use me as He should. You know, He will use me and move me as He should. And I'll do that. So, you know, because I can't, look, reading signs sometimes confuses me. You know, like, I'm like, is it my desire speaking, or is it God telling me what to do? You know, I don't really understand what it was. You know, I never really, really deeped it. I didn't understand it. I wasn't really in tune with myself enough to know the difference, or if there is a difference, you know. And then my mom was like, okay, then you pray that night prayer. Should you pray the night prayer then and see what happens? I said, cool. I got off the phone. I write poetry, okay? So I've been writing poetry, I don't know for how long, but it's been a long time. It's been more than at least 7-8 years that I've been, it's been more than 8 years at least that I've been writing poetry. And I haven't written, but I haven't written something in a long time, because I would always write poetry when I was in a very sad mood or conflicted mood. And recently, my moods have not been sad or conflicted, like in the last couple of years, in like the last 2 years. They've always been, I don't know what they've been, but they've not been in, like, it was never something normally poetry would get me out of that funk or get me out of the sadness, and I'm able to write my feelings down. But I never felt the need recently, in the last 2 years. And then out of nowhere, today, I just started writing again, and it was so weird because I haven't written in so long. And I want to read for you guys what I wrote. I hope this recording stays, like, continues as I'm reading it, and I hope it's, you know, picks up. Let's see. Okay, so here it is. So I wrote, we exist on so many different spaces as different people, and that's the struggle. I have so many desires of the person, for the person I want to be, the scenarios of life I want to play out, but can I do so knowing it would displease my Lord and cause me punishment for the rest of eternity? I want to so badly leave and play out all my wildest fantasies of owning my own place in the city or the countryside, just setting off around the globe with my hair in the wind and adventures on my side. Working in the corporate world and playing out all my working girl fantasies, I can say, as a Muslim female living in the Western world, I struggle. I struggle with the tug of war that goes on inside my head of who I should be and who I desire to be. It only gets more intense as I stand before the end of my last step in life, i.e. my finishing my undergrad. I am so confused on what I want and need for my next step. Having the world at my fingertips scares me. Having this much choice scares me. I can travel to Asia and pursue a life and career there, which I've always wanted. I can travel to the Middle East and have a career there full of wealth. I can go straight into work in one of the largest capitals in the world. I can go back to my homeland and take part in the development there. I can go ahead and start building on my family and sail off into the sunset. I can choose to go back to school and specialize in something. I can choose to take some time off just to think. The luxuries I have at my fingertips are endless. But that's the scary thing. I only have so much time in this world. And what if I make the wrong choice? That's when I remember the hereafter. That's when I remember the afterlife is for all of eternity. And I should instead focus on that. And God will set me on a path he sees fit for me in this world. But is a human ever satisfied? The answer is no. Is the human able to let go completely and surrender their life and world? The answer is no. Because as soon as you say, I surrender, you witness an opportunity or a thing you desire you to have. And the wheels just start turning in our heads. And you start to work and build on how it is that you can achieve that want. But I guess that's the test for those who've been blessed with everything. Will you be distracted by the bounties in this world? Or will you remember that all of these can disappear at a moment's notice? And you'll be hearing the last person leave your grave site before you are questioned by the angels, by the two angels, Munkar and Nakir. And all of this world and all of its distractions will not be worth anything in the end. So that's my answer, I guess. Focus on the hereafter. Choose God and ask to be satisfied with whatever he chooses for you. And I guess God heard me straight away. God heard me straight away and said, you know what? I'm going to give you that answer and settle you. Because I don't know. I've never, like, full out said to God, I'm conflicted. Although God already knows what I feel. I never said it to God. I never, like, said in my prayers, like, I'm conflicted, help me, guide me. I've always said, guide me, but I've never said for what. And I never even knew I felt this way until now, like, after I wrote that. And I never realized, because as soon as I wrote that, the last paragraph hit me really hard, because the answer I was looking for was in there. And the knot in my stomach straight away went. The headache I had that I couldn't get rid of for how long now, no matter how much, like, painkillers I took, it wouldn't go away. No matter how much I slept, it wouldn't go away. No matter how much fresh air I took, it wouldn't go away. If I worked out, it wouldn't go away. The minute I just read that poem, I realized the answer. And then it was just like God said to me, I hear you, and here's the answer. Settle down. And all of the pain and the way I was torturing myself just went away. And it's just so true, like, you know, like, in this world, there's so many desires and in front of us, and not everybody sees it like that, unless you want to. Like, we all want to do what we want and what makes us happy and makes us be equal to everybody else. So you see, like, people online or your friends, and they're all doing what they want, and you want to be a part of that. But sometimes that's not the best thing for you, especially for me as a Muslim woman. There's already so many mistakes we do, so many sins we make. You already make so much sins. I don't know what the word is. Make is making me feel annoyed that I'm maybe saying the wrong word, but there's so many sins we take part in that we don't even know every day. Some we do know, some we don't. To add to it myself is not necessary. I don't need to create my own, you know, sins and then bring myself closer to hell. Like, I should at least give myself the fighting chance. So yeah, but then I also, like, I was conflicted because I know God did not create me to be a slave to my parents or a slave to society or a slave to anybody. But at the same time, I don't want to also think I know what's right and wrong, like, without consulting with my Lord, you know, asking for guidance. So yeah, in the end, I don't know why I started what I said when I started this podcast, but in the end, I found out, like, how much it helps that your state, if you're somebody who's practicing, if you're Muslim, Christian, Buddhist, Sikh, Hindu, anything, any religion you practice, as long as you stay connected to your Lord, as long as you stay connected to and make prayers and constantly ask for guidance, you will get guided. You won't be led astray. And I was also, like, reading the book by Yasmin Mujahid. It's called Reclaim Your Heart. And she was talking a lot about how the minute we let go of things in this world, God gives it to us because we're not holding God in our hands, and our desires in our heart. Rather, we're holding God in our heart and our desires in our hand, meaning that the desires are disposable, but God isn't, so we keep him in our heart. But the minute we are so wrapped up in this world and all of its desires, we forget, we put God in our hands, because we say to ourselves, oh, you know what, like, I'll say, for example, like, we won't pray on time, we won't be more modest, we don't give charity, like, stuff like that, for example. It's not the only way, by the way, but this is examples I can talk about for myself, like, I can think of right now. When we do those things, when we don't decide to pray on time, when we decide not to give charity, when we decide to not give charity, we say, oh, you know what, there's not enough income, I don't trust that God will suffice me. I don't trust that God will give me more. So I have to hold on to whatever I have. That's the charity aspect. When you don't pray on time, it's like you're choosing this world, like instead of God. So instead of like, you're like, oh, you know what, let me just finish reading this book and then I will go and pray. Or if you say, oh, you know what, let me just continue this, having this gossip session, and then I will pray. Or let me finish work and then I will pray. Or let me finish cleaning and then I'll pray. Or let me go get this one errand done and then I'll pray. Whatever it may be that you're doing, it may seem very important, but nothing's ever as important to your appointment with your Lord, which is your five prayers of the day, for me personally, okay? So I realized then that's another thing. So don't hold God in your hands. Hold God in your heart by making sure you put Him first and everything else in this world in your hands, which is your desires. Like, working is like a desire, you know? Friendship is like desire, like something like that shouldn't be in your heart. Rather, it should be in your hands, something that's easily disposable. All these things are disposable because God gave them to you and He can easily take them away, you know? And when God sees that you're not concentrating on Him and making sure that you're working on your afterlife, and rather He sees that you're so wrapped up in this world, He, like a mother does with her child, you know how a mother will like take a toy away from a child and make sure that he eats instead of focusing on the toy. God does that to you. So He takes away that desire, or He takes away that thing that you are wanting so much and you're focusing so much on, and He says, you know what, you're not going to have it back until I can see that you're doing right for you. Because God doesn't want you to go to hell. God doesn't want to punish you. He even says He'll continue to forgive His He'll continue to forgive His servants as long as they keep coming back and asking for guidance. And as long as they keep, and you know, when we're constantly saying like stuff, like astaghfirullah, alhamdulillah, praying, even if we're inconsistent, God sees that we're trying, you know. And I realized it is so necessary to never let God be the thing that's disposable, the thing that you put aside, the thing that, even when you're in your feelings, because I go through that. I went through a time where, and I still go, not a time, I go through times where I'm in my feelings and I'm like, you know what, I'm not doing anything today, literally doing nothing. I'm gonna stay in my bed, I'm not going to pray, I'm just gonna stay on my bed watching Netflix or YouTube, and I won't pray on time, I won't or I'll miss a prayer because I took a nap, and or I will, you know, do all that stuff, and then God will tell you like, that's wrong, I shouldn't do that, because God will then say to you, hey, you're making me the option, and this world and your feelings the thing that's what's in your heart, you know. I hope that made sense. So yeah, I realized like, because I remember I would I was so scared of my results, and I would for my second year examinations, and I remember I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep. Sometimes I was going like crazy waiting for my results. And when I was doing that, I wasn't getting back any, I wasn't hearing back, even though so many friends of mine would hear back and like hear their results. I wasn't hearing back from anybody, and I was confused as to what's going on. I was like, did I fail? I was so scared, and I was going in circles. I was going crazy. I was just bedbound really, because I wanted so bad. And One day I just decided, I said, you know what, if I pass, I go to my third year and I graduate. If I don't pass, I fail, then I'll just have to, I don't know, do something else, you know, it's not that deep. And the minute I said that out loud, the next day, I honestly received a letter from my university saying, congratulations, you passed your third year, your second year, and you're going to your third year. And I was so shocked, you know. And even that was the case again. This was during lockdown, you know. And I was like, and then it came to me what everybody was saying. The minute you let go of the worldly desires, God gives it to you, you know. And I was just like, you know, whatever. I don't care about what happens. I'm just gonna continue my prayers and work on what I need to for my afterlife rather than this world. And I let go. And then the next day, I received an email telling me you passed and everything. And then there was another situation, I can't remember honestly on the top of my head what it was right now, but it was the same thing, you know. I wanted it so bad, And then, oh yeah, I do know. So I wanted this thing so bad, and I kept on putting all my feelings into it. I was like constantly saying, no, please God, don't make it that way, make it this way. And then it would always, like, I kept on getting mixed messages from the company. And then in the end, when I let go and I said, you know what, I shouldn't care this much about this opportunity. I said, you know what, I let go, I don't care anymore. Either they give it to me or they don't. I don't really care anymore. It's okay. Life is not going to end. This is not that important. I should focus on myself and focus on other things. The minute I let go, I received, oh, you got it, and your papers are on the way, and they'll be with you in the next that many working, 3 to 5 working days, I think it was, or 3 working days, I can't remember. And I was so shocked. I was like, all I needed to do was let go. And then the uni thing happened. And then I realized, you know what? The problem is when we hold on to things too tightly in our heart and we forget that this is all but a moment, you know? This world is all but a moment. It's not what's most important. What's most important is your faith and your actions, like, you know, your sins and your good deeds and your charity and, you know, your prayers. That's what's most important. Not this world, school, work, relationships. They're not as important as your faith, you know? Every work you do, to all the work that you sorry, not all every work, all the work you do towards your faith is what's important, because that's what you're going to live with for the rest of your life. Not in the afterlife as well, I'm talking about. I'm not just talking about, you know. So anyway, I hope that made, I hope you, not that made, that I made sense, because I hope, obviously I've given so many examples, it should make sense. I just hope you've enjoyed my podcast. This is the kind of stuff I want to talk about. It won't always be religion based, but this one was, because, well, it was because it was. And I hope to see you guys in the next episode. If there's anything you want to say, you can send on Anchor, you can send recordings, and I can talk about it. See you guys next time, and I hope everybody is staying safe. I hope everybody is happy and in good spirits, and I hope that you all are with your loved ones and that your loved ones are all well. Yes, I hope that everybody is now starting back school or work, and I hope we don't go into a second lockdown. Honestly, I will be needing this world to go back into its normal programming. But yes, everybody, you know, I hope you guys are staying safe and well. Yeah, love you guys. Bye.